President of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436, 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. The child porn investigation started in Canada. Shocking shots of children on the internet. Live sexual abuse of a one-year-old baby.
We're drowning in child pornography and we're losing the war.
U.S. investigators joined in. So did others in Britain and in Australia. And they set up a sting. Today, 27 people were indicted in four countries. CBS's Stephanie Lambidakis.
This child pornography case is particularly disturbing to law enforcement agencies because they say it marks the first time they've seen the live molestation of children and even babies with the images transmitted to customers on their computers via what's called peer-to-peer file sharing. The porn ring maintained tight security on its members, but Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents were able to infiltrate its inner workings and make 13 arrests in the U.S. alone.
The man seen on a car wash video leading a trusting 11-year-old girl, Carly Brucia, away in Sarasota, Florida. Joseph P. Smith has been sentenced to die for raping and murdering her. Ernie Allen is president of the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children.
With all of the debate about the death penalty and what's just and what's not, let me assure you that the killer of Carly Brucia, if he doesn't deserve death, nobody does.
Death penalties are automatically appealed. A gunman walked into a crowded Denny's restaurant today in Pismo Beach, California, and he opened fire, killed two people, then himself. 30 to 40 other people were diving under tables or staring slack-jawed at the violence that interrupted, that ruined their lunch. Police have not yet figured out why it happened. Older folks can surprise you. When death splits an older couple, a new study says the survivor does okay. Within 6 months, they've pretty well shaken off any signs of grief, and 10% are downright chipper. Another study on the elderly who are depressed says pills can make a difference. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato in Washington.
This study suggests doctors shouldn't hesitate to prescribe antidepressants for patients over 70 and that they should keep them on these drugs more than just a few months. Without treatment, recurrences are common. In this New England Journal of Medicine study, patients were less likely to suffer a setback if they were treated with antidepressants rather than psychotherapy.
Three people on a Northwest Airlines jet were injured when the Detroit to Washington flight encountered powerful turbulence. Experts say seat belts, even loosely worn, will keep you from caroming off the ceiling and the nearby seats when things get bouncy. Rock climbing is fun, challenging, and a serious adrenaline rush, but you need to be sure where you are. Some rocks are off limits. East Rock in New Haven, Connecticut is one such. And a woman who got stuck more than halfway up has a bill to pay. The expenses of her rescue, $6,000. New Haven officials are upset. They said she put herself in danger as well as the firefighters who had to rappel down to fetch her. On Wall Street, the Dow gained 58 points today to close at nearly 11,210. NASDAQ picked up about 16. Oil prices, $62.17 a barrel, down 93 cents. This is CBS News.
The following is an OnStar conversation.
OnStar Center, this is Wendy.
I just have a question. I know you all can call out, but can somebody call in?
Yes, of course. I have a phone number right here. Would you like it?
I sure would.
Okay, it's 262.
OnStar Hands-Free Calling is a voice-activated calling feature built into OnStar-equipped vehicles that allows subscribers to make and receive calls while keeping their hands on the wheel and eyes on the road.
You guys have helped me out many times. I love it.
Awesome.
I wouldn't trade this for all the tea in China.
I'm glad that it's working out for you.
There are no additional access fees, roaming, or long-distance charges.
Anything else I can assist you with?
Not unless you got a bag full of 50s.
If I had a bag full of 50s, I'd be in Mexico.
All right. You have a good day, okay?
You too.
OnStar Hands-Free Calling is available on 16 Chevy cars and trucks. To purchase minutes or learn more about this service, push your blue button or visit OnStar.com. OnStar Hands-Free Calling is not available in certain markets.
Starbucks has given the nation their first coffee break today. In Seattle, KIRO's Heather Bosch.
As the milk steamed and the coffee poured,
we got a tall latte for Adele.
Customers crowded into Starbucks' first Seattle store. For 2 hours here and across the country, CEO Jim Donald says they gave away free coffee.
Half a million cups.
Donald says they're thanking regular coffee drinkers like Nancy Nunley of Alabama.
She's got some real major coffee drinkers, had to come here.
And hoping to bring in new customers like Seattle's Laura Dolman.
Not sure yet.
Might become regular coffee drinkers here, huh?
Maybe.
Heather Bosch for CBS News, Seattle.
It's so inconvenient when St. Patrick's Day happens in the middle of Lent. But that's okay. Bishops across the nation are giving Roman Catholics a one-day dispensation for Friday's corned beef feasting in celebration of the patron saint of Ireland. But there is a trade-off. Many bishops say there ought to be extra acts of penance, charity, and prayer for the privilege. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic weekend getaway? Well, how about 3 days and two nights in Las Vegas? And what about, you don't pay a dime for it? That's right, act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas's newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge, stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on. You know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call this special toll-free number, 866-41-GO-NOW. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 866-41-GO-NOW for all the exciting details. That's 866-41-GO-NOW. Call...
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. Let's get this party started. I'm Peter B. And I've got 3 hours of live, unscripted, unrehearsed telephone talk coming your way. With the progressive orientation. Oh, yeah. That's the artist named Pink, and I declare this a Code Pink Wednesday. In the week leading up to the third anniversary of the initiation of hostilities, the unilateral, optional war engaged in by the United States. And a little bit later on, I'll have information for you on the peace rallies and marches taking place in both the Monterey, Salinas, and Eureka areas coming up this weekend. I hope you will participate, if at all possible. And we've got lots to talk about today. In just a few minutes, our counsel, Marjorie Cohn, professor of constitutional law at the Thomas Jefferson School of Law in San Diego, will join us. We'll talk about war crimes, past and current. And we'll also get her take on the unusual developments in the sentencing phase of the Zacharias Moussaoui case in suburban Washington. It's gone sideways, and the government really wanted to kill that guy. And maybe now he'll be sentenced to life without possibility of parole. We'll find out. We're going to get a first-person account of what it's like to live in occupied Iraq. Faiza al-Araji will join us about 3:30. She's a civil engineer, she is a Shia, and she's married to a Sunni. And they have fled the country after one of her sons was held by the Ministry of the Interior, which of course is dominated by Shiites. And yesterday, 85 bodies, some stacked up, were found all over Baghdad. The carnage continues, and you're going to hear what it's like to live in a situation like that from Faiza, coming up later this hour. Next hour, we're going to revisit the first conspiracy theory that the young Peter B. Collins took on early in his talk show career. And this goes way, way back to the early 1970s when I had my first talk show in Chicago. The conspiracy? Who killed JFK? Gareth Jenkins is a British author who's published a glossy new book called The John F. Kennedy Handbook. And we're going to go back in time, talk about Kennedy the womanizer, his links to the mob, the attempts to kill Castro, and whether that was the blowback that caused his assassination, whether Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone, and whether John F. Kennedy was really preparing to pull out of Vietnam at the time of his death. Lots to talk about there, and you're invited to join the conversation anywhere along the way. And in our 5 o'clock segment, Larissa Alexandrovna, the reporter from RawStory.com, is going to join us, and we're going to talk about this story. And I found it buried on page A23 of today's New York Times. I am a daily reader of the Times. And this story says that Ben Bradley, the former executive editor of the Washington Post, has been quoted as saying that he thinks it was Richard L. Armitage, the former deputy secretary of state, and a cue ball of a guy with a voice from way, way in the nether regions. I've been in the same room with him, and he is a bizarre fellow. Anyway, Bradley believes that Richard Armitage was the one who originally leaked Valerie Plame Wilson's identity in the effort to smear Joe Wilson. You know the story. But Larissa believes that this story is wrong, and that it was Stephen Hadley, who is now the national security advisor. He moved up when Condi moved over to Secretary of State. So we're going to have a good discussion with Larissa about that in our 5 o'clock segment. Either way, it does appear that the stone wall is crumbling at the White House, and the leaker or leakers will be identified. And then Bush is going to have to decide whether he'll make good on his promise to fire any individuals responsible for the leak of the Wilson Plame name. So we continue to follow that, and we will not let go of it until we have resolution, because I think that's a story that, well, we deserve to know the truth about. Also in the news today, George W. Bush admits that the Medicare prescription drug program is off to a bit of a rocky start. Well, he didn't say that. The newspaper reporter used those words. But he says, anytime Washington passes a new law, sometimes the transition period can be interesting. Take a look, he says, at all the options available. One of the reasons I've come is to ask people who are eligible for Medicare just to explore the options. And despite the widespread confusion, bungling, and the fact that many seniors are unable to get their drugs at the prices that have been represented, the many pharmacists have been extending credit to their customers because of the confusion and the errors in the startup of this new benefit program, the White House is flatly refusing to extend the deadline past May for seniors to decide which one of the many plans they want to sign up for. He's a tough daddy, isn't he? And in Washington, the Republicans in the Senate blocked an effort that would have imposed budget rules to make it harder to increase spending or cut taxes. Yes, a deficit reduction measure. In the first of several politically charged budget and spending issues confronting Congress, the Senate rejected on a 50-50 tie a proposal to restore what are known as pay-as-you-go rules, a requirement that tax cuts and some new spending be approved by 60 votes or offset by budget savings or revenue increases. Tax increases, we don't say revenue. And I just want to remind people who find it in their hearts to support Republicans that these are the same people who embraced Little Nudie's Contract on America in 1994. And they said, we are so dedicated to fiscal responsibility that we want to pass a constitutional amendment requiring a balanced budget every year. And I think that's extreme and unwise. But that was the mantra of Republican leaders just 12 years ago. What a slippery slope we have descended. Don Rumsfeld says he's pulling troops out. He's sending troops in. We're going to be out of there. We're not going to be out of there. It's confusing, isn't it? He gave a strong hint on Tuesday that American troop levels might be increased in coming days, perhaps only slightly and perhaps temporarily. We touched on this yesterday. There are about 4,000 troops standing by in Kuwait. And because of the Muslim religious pilgrimages that will be taking place in Iraq over the next few weeks, they're going to send a few of those boys and girls from Kuwait over the border into Iraq. The number used yesterday was 700. The number in the New York Times today is 800. It's not a big deal. But what I love is when Rummy holds these news conferences and he asks questions of himself. He doesn't trust the reporters to do it. Is it true the people in the intelligence community are thinking about this and analyzing it and doing red team, A team, B team type looks at it? Sure they are, and they should be. Do I think we're in a civil war at the present time? No. I believe that they have looked at the path that leads to civil war and decided they do not want to go in that direction, and they're very much looking toward how can they have a unified government and move down that path. Take off those rose-colored glasses, Rummy, as they're obscuring your vision. Well, these are some of the things we'll talk about in the Free Speech Zone later on today between 5 and 6 o'clock. Coming up next, Professor Marjorie Cohn will join us, and we'll talk about some legal issues, including war crimes past and present and the Moussaoui case. That's straight ahead right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's tax time again, and there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and, through electronic filing, get you that refund as soon as you need it, in 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks. The choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just 2 blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2 1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville. Join R.J. Moyer for his new weekend show, About College Funding, this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding, Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540, sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
I'm Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Show. Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m., we'll explore Monterey Bay regional wine and food, markets, restaurants, menus, and prices. I'll interview winemakers, chefs, and other key players. We'll put food and wine together, and then we'll take them apart. If it's handcrafted beer or goat's milk and it's good, let's talk about it. Join me every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. to discuss food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay region, an especially delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
This is the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show live on KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz, live on KGOE 1480, Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County. And joining me right now is a professor of law from the Thomas Jefferson School of Law in San Diego, Marjorie Cohn. She's also the incoming president of the National Lawyers Guild. Hello, Marjorie.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing okay today. It's nice to talk with you again.
Nice to talk to you.
And I wanted to talk about two things with you today. One, war crimes issues, and secondly, the unusual events in the courtroom of Leonie Brinkman and the Moussaoui case. Now, first up to war crimes, you participated in an interesting ad hoc tribunal in New York at the Riverside Church back on Martin Luther King Day. And that group, with your participation, articulated, I think, an interesting set of war crimes charges against Bush and this administration. And your piece, which is posted a couple of days ago on truthout.org, talks about the death of Slobodan Milosevic in The Hague over the weekend, which brings the war crimes trials for him, at any rate, to an end. And you make some interesting comments just about this whole process. And I'd like to tie it together both with what happened in the Balkans in the 90s and what is going on in the world today, largely initiated by the United States. What is the definition of a war crime, and to what extent did Milosevic or even Bill Clinton fall under the jurisdiction of the court and the terminology that you use to define war crimes?
Well, a war crime is something that constitutes a grave breach of the Geneva Conventions, and torture is one of those. Torture and inhuman treatment and willful killing all constitute war crimes, as defined by the Geneva Conventions and as defined by our own federal torture statute. So when a country engages in torture, when leaders of a country have a policy that results in torture, that is a war crime. Now, the point that I made in that article is that, yes, Slobodan Milosevic was being tried in The Hague in the Special Yugoslav Tribunal for war crimes, crimes against humanity, and genocide. Very, very serious charges. And unfortunately, he died before there could be any final resolution of that. Many people thought that he was guilty. There were very, very serious allegations leveled against him, and there were, you know, and it's clear to me that that he probably did commit many of those crimes. It's also clear to me that there was ethnic cleansing going on both sides, and that it got worse after NATO attacked. But my main point in that piece was that there's a concept that's that came out of the Nuremberg tribunals, the dissent actually in the Tokyo tribunal after World War II, called victor's justice, and that means that only the victorious countries are going to put the leaders of the other countries on trial. So that, for example, U.S. leaders never faced any international tribunal for their firebombing of 67 Japanese cities, including Tokyo, some of which resulted in the deaths of 100,000 civilians in one night. And in the film Fog of War, Robert McNamara admitted that if we had lost World War II, that he and Curtis LeMay would have been tried as war criminals. The same thing happened during the bombing of Yugoslavia. Regardless of what Milosevic was doing, two wrongs don't make a right, and that did not give the United States the right to go in and kill thousands of people, pollute the environment, drop cluster bombs and depleted uranium on that country and change that regime. It also constituted the crime of aggression, which came out of the Nuremberg Tribunal as the supreme international war crime, crime of aggression that violated the UN Charter. The UN never approved that bombing, that NATO bombing of Yugoslavia, never, and the Security Council didn't approve it, and it was not done in self-defense. Likewise, in Iraq and in Afghanistan, the Security Council did not approve those two wars, and they were not done in self-defense. There is more sympathy, I think, in this country for the Afghanistan war, but the country of Afghanistan, the government of Afghanistan, never came over and attacked us. There were 19 individuals, 15 of whom came from Saudi Arabia. So that also was a war of aggression. And then we have war crimes that we've seen repeatedly evidence of torture and inhuman treatment of prisoners, not just in Iraq, prisoners in U.S. custody, but also in Afghanistan at Bagram Air Base and elsewhere, at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, and in secret CIA prisons around the world. Those constitute war crimes, and under this concept of victor's justice, we're not likely to see George W. Bush, Dick Cheney, or Donald Rumsfeld hauled before an international court. One of the reasons being is that Bush denounced the International Criminal Court specifically so he wouldn't become a defendant in a war crimes prosecution.
Yeah, quite convenient. Let's turn now to the Massawi case. The government really seemed to want to kill this guy, and you and I don't support capital punishment. But given that landscape, how could they have screwed up so badly and tried to coach witnesses when the judge had explicitly instructed them not to?
Well, you know, if you look at the record of the Bush administration in these prosecutions coming out of the war on terrorism, they really haven't done very well.
Bupkis.
And they're desperate to get convictions, and they're desperate to get the death penalty for this guy whom it appears to me, from what I can tell of this case, has a screw loose. I'm not really convinced that he actually did what they said he did. He seems to have mental illness, and I think they just want to say, hey, look, we are going to execute this guy who was responsible for 9/11. Now, Moussaoui was in jail on a visa violation on 9/11.
And how does the legal theory work to try to connect his failure to come clean with the people in Minneapolis, the FBI officials that were interrogating him, about the 9/11 plot?
Well, the prosecution's theory in trying to get the death penalty for Moussaoui is that Moussaoui knew about 9/11, and if he had told the FBI, they could have stopped the 9/11 attacks. And that's what these witnesses who were coached by the government were going to say, or supposedly were going to say. That was the important link in the government's case. Now,
awful
those witnesses will not...
Me.
Pardon me?
It seems far-fetched to me.
It is far-fetched. It's very far-fetched, and I think they're desperate. They're really desperate. I mean, if you look at the other prosecutions, or lack thereof, if you look at the Jose Padilla case, where he was arrested in 2002, Ashcroft announced ceremoniously, interrupted his trip to Moscow and said, this guy was going to explode a radioactive bomb, a dirty bomb. They kept him in a military brig without any charges for 4 years, and finally, on the eve of the due date for the briefs in the Supreme Court in his case, the Bush administration, in order to avoid a negative ruling in the Supreme Court, quickly charged him with some crimes, but none of them had to do with radioactive bombs. Likewise, Brandon Mayfield, and nothing about terrorism in the United States against Padilla. The FBI...
I need to stop you there. We're out of time here today, but I appreciate it. Marjorie Cohn, thanks for joining us, and you can read her war crimes piece at truthout.org. We'll talk to you again soon.
Great, Peter. Take care.
Coming
Bye.
Up next, an Iraqi citizen, Faiza Al-Araji, will join us right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2006 Mazda 6, a sporty four-door hatchback that handles well and gets pretty good mileage. The Mazda 6 is assembled in Michigan. Only the transmission is made in Japan. With a 3-liter fuel-injected six-cylinder engine and a 5-speed manual transmission, my demo has plenty of acceleration and power. It's got a full package of power toys, including a power moonroof, Bose sound system, and Sirius satellite radio. I'm impressed with its easy handling and smart design, and by that I mean it's good-looking and well-engineered. Mazda includes a 4-year bumper-to-bumper warranty, so test drive the Mazda 6 before you buy a Camry or an Altima. By the numbers, the Mazda 6 gets about 19 miles per gallon in the city, 27 on the highway, and stickers in California for about $28,000. Behind the Wheel, I'm Peter B. Collins.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Certified estate planner Michelle Ashen of Ashen Senior Resources is issuing a special invitation to her upcoming valuable seminars for seniors and their families. Michelle Ashen is your source for critical information like how to avoid nursing home costs, how to reduce or eliminate taxes on unearned income and at death, whether long-term care insurance is worth it. Michelle Ashen will also teach you how you can increase disposable income, invest in the stock market without risk of capital loss, avoid probate costs and delays, use the new multi-generation Stretch IRA to avoid unnecessary taxation. Michelle Ashen addresses the rights of all seniors and reveals little-known information that can save you thousands. For information regarding Michelle's next seminar, including date, time, and place, or to schedule a free personal consultation, call 641-0236, 641-0236. Remember, knowledge is power, so reserve your seat today. 831-641-0236.
I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I'll bring you interesting topics and personalities from the world of food, wine, and fun. Guests on the Tasty Planet have included wine experts, winemakers, restaurateurs, famous chefs, and others that have made the Monterey Bay region such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by PG Liquors at 229 Grand in Pacific Grove. Stop by today for all your quality beverage needs and ask them about their single malt scotch tasting on March 22nd. And tell them the Tasty Planet sent you.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, live up and down the left coast. It's 33 minutes past the hour. And before I introduce our guest, a citizen of Iraq, I'd like to read you some commentary from her blog. A week ago, I came to America by invitation by an organization to participate in the Women's Day activities. The situation in Iraq now is the worst that can be since Baghdad fell in April 2003. 3 years have passed since the war, and the results we reaped were destruction, ruin, killings, and bloodshed. Billions of dollars were robbed, thousands of souls perished, our cities and villages destroyed, and there are some who are pulling the people apart, pushing them into a sectarian civil war.
Technological breakdown. Oh, no
There is an occupation army filling the streets. Doing what? We do not know. They build military bases which spell the message. They want to remain forever, that they do not care for our souls, and that everything that is happening to us pours into their interest and is a reason for them to stay. Iraq is torn apart. Iraq is ruined. Iraq became a heap of debris. Is this what they want? Was this their aim in this war? This is what I want to say to the American people. I want them to know the real story of the war, not the story they hear in their biased media financed by the government and its friends. I want the people here to stand up and face their responsibility for what is happening in Iraq. Those are the words of Faiza Al-Araji, who joins us on the program now. She's a civil engineer and, as you know now, a blogger. And she is a Shia who is married to a Sunni. They have three children. And recently one of her sons was held by the Ministry of the Interior, which is widely believed to be controlled by the Shia majority. And the family fled to Jordan. Faiza Al-Araji, thank you for your comments and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. You're welcome.
It's my pleasure. Tell me, if you could, just expand on the comments that I read from your blog.
Yes.
What is daily life like in Iraq right now?
Yeah. The daily life is like, I can tell you how it is. The families, they have the lack of electricity. They have electricity about 2 hours every 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a lack of clean water to the people. And lack of medicines if they need something to go to the hospital. And the security condition outside in the street is horrible. The people can't send their kids to the school because nobody can protect them. The government are sitting in the green zone and the occupation force moving in the streets. And the people are in the middle. Nobody cares about them. They are dying and the bombing cars are in the streets, and the violence, and the gangs, and the militia, and this is the daily life of Iraqi people. They are suffering and dying since 3 years, and nobody cares about them.
And what we're hearing in the United States is our administration trying to tell us that there is not a civil war in Iraq yet.
Yeah.
What is your opinion?
The Iraqis refuse the idea of civil war. The people refuse the idea. But you can see, the occupation force, when they came, they put in power religious sectarian leaders. So, and they put in power like militia and, you know, like something who are based on sectarian or ethnic. These people have not been chosen by Iraqi people. The occupation force gets them and put them in power. And they provoke the Iraqi people against each other because this sectarian leaders, when they came, the discourse of their speech is like kind of, this is the time of revenge. It means come and take revenge from Sunni, come and take revenge from Ba'athist. This is wrong. They are pushing the country for the civil war. And I believe that there is thousands of independent, well-educated, patriotic Iraqi men and women. They should have the power. They should have the new leaders of Iraq. These leaders are the wrong leaders for Iraq. They are pushing Iraq for the dark future. This is what Iraq is saying now.
Faiza, yesterday, 85 dead bodies were found in different locations around Baghdad. Many of them were shot execution style. The individual's hands were bound, and a bullet was delivered to the back of the head.
Yes.
Tell us what this means and what is causing it, and can the United States do anything to try to defuse the various types of paybacks that are occurring between the different groups you cited? It's Ba'athists, it's Shia, it's Sunni.
Yes. When Bremer entered Iraq after the fall of Baghdad, he started this campaign of getting revenge because he started to campaign that cut the roots of al-Ba'ath, and he started to put the map of Iraq and put and divide it for three zones, and he said this is Kurd, this is Sunni, this is Shia, and he said that the majority of Iraqis are Shia, they have been ruled by the minority of Sunni. So it means this policy provoked the people against each other. And he put the first government in Iraq. It was based on the sectarian. And he put the first constitution of Iraq. It was based on sectarian. It means this policy from the administration, it is wrong policy. They pushed the country for the wrong direction. And they hold their responsibility about what is going on in Iraq. Don't tell me the Iraqi people choose this wrong direction. The occupation force pushed the country to choose this direction.
And so, I understand your point, and I'm not disputing it in any way. My feeling is that the U.S. occupying forces today are a target. They are an irritant that will cause this violence and chaos to continue. Now, many people worry that if the U.S. pulls out, that the situation would actually be worse. Tell me what your thoughts are.
Well, after 3 years, we can see they have done nothing to improve the life of Iraqi people. Don't tell me that there is more than 150,000 soldiers in Iraq. They can't control the security conditions, or they can't improve the service in Iraq. Don't tell me. So what about 3 years passed in Iraq? Billions of the dollars have been spent. Where is the money of the Iraqis? Why can't they make a kind of reconstruction for the infrastructure of the country? They just moving in the streets, shooting the people or arrested them, put them in prisons. What are they doing in Iraq? And also they established the new army and police in Iraq based on sectarian. It means they are biased. They are not defending their people. They are targeted the different sectarian parts in Iraq and kill them. And there is a big question about the new militia who entered Iraq. Who funds them? Who trains them? There are mercenaries running in the streets of Iraq, killing the people in their houses or in the mosques. It is big questions, and I feel, and most of the Iraqis feel, that the responsibility is for the occupation force. They should have the responsibility about what is going on in Iraq. They should answer these questions, not me.
Now, Faiza, I understand that one of your sons was held. I don't know if he was arrested, detained, or kidnapped. I don't know what the proper terminology is, but he was held by the Ministry of the Interior. Tell us a little bit about this story. And also, since you're a Shia and your husband is a Sunni, what sect do your children observe?
Well, look, this issue, Sunni and Shia, they exaggerated because both of them are Muslim. So when we introduce ourselves as Muslim, it means the same faith. But they put these signs to divide the people against other. It means I'm Shia, my husband Sunni, my kids will be Sunni or Shia. It doesn't matter. We are Muslim. All are Muslim. But it is like something like the idea coming from outside of the country. Nobody can accept this idea. My son was in the college, and he was moving inside the college, and there is a new security man was from the Interior Ministry. He asked him, where are you going, or something like that. My son has a bird, you can see. Now, if you have a bird in Iraq, it means it is a charge. You are a terrorist. So there was a short conversation between my son and the security man, and the security man was angry because he didn't like my son. So he went to bring the bag and the ties and put the bag on his head and the ties on his hand and took him away to put him in the prison in Interior Ministry without any reason, without any charge. It is something related to his mood. And after 4 days, we don't know where is the boy. He have been missed. After 4 days, he called from somebody, gave him a cell phone, and he told his dad that, "Dad, I'm innocent, but please help me send somebody to contact the senior here and pay money, release me." They want money. So we sent somebody to make a kind of connection, and we know who is the senior of that prison, and we sent him. He said that he wants thousands of money. So my husband sent the thousands of money, and they released the son. And the same day, we left Iraq. We went to Jordan, and we closed our house, and we are waiting like thousands of Iraqi families having the same story now. They are living in Jordan, waiting day after day to go back to Iraq.
So, Faiza, let me just break this down. Your son was detained because he had a beard. And
yes.
Then, in order to win his release, you had to pay bribes.
Yeah.
And is this common where, because they now have the power at the Interior Ministry, the Army, and the Police Department,
they are
grabbing people and then basically just extorting money from their relatives?
Well, it depends. For my family, we were lucky. We have money to pay. But what about the poor Iraqis?
In order to win his release, you had to pay bribes.
Yeah.
And is this common where, because they now have the power at the Interior Ministry, the Army, and the Police Department,
they are
grabbing people and then basically just extorting money from their relatives?
Well, it depends. For my family, we were lucky. We have money to pay. But what about the poor Iraqis who have no money to pay? It means they will kill their son or keep them in the prison for months and years. Who cares?
Well, and many have been killed. I mean, the Interior had to pay bribes.
Yeah.
And is this common where, because they now have the power at the Interior Ministry, the Army, and the Police Department,
they are
grabbing people and then basically just extorting money from their relatives?
Well, it depends. For my family, we were lucky. We have money to pay. But what about the poor Iraqis who have no money to pay? It means they will kill their son keep them in the prison for months and years. Who cares?
Well, and many have been killed. I mean, the Interior Ministry has been found to be run department.
Yeah.
They are grabbing people and then basically just extorting money from their relatives?
Well, it depends. For my family, we were lucky. We have money to pay. But what about the poor Iraqis who have no money to pay? It means they will kill their son keep them in the prison for months and years. Who cares?
Well, and many have been killed. I mean, the Interior Ministry has been found to be running detention centers in Baghdad where torture has been applied to the detainees. And as we pointed out, a number of people were shot. Just in detention centers in Baghdad where torture has been applied to the detainees. And as we pointed out, a number of people were shot. Just in, since the bombing of the Golden Mass Mosque in Samarra.
Yeah.
So but there.
I want to know that.
Go
in
ahead.
The same building of the Interior Ministry, there is basements for torturing the people, and there is prisons to arrest the people, and in the same building.
I am Attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for...
Tune in. All of the...
I'll repeat that. afamilyinbaghdad.blogspot.com. And let me read a few more lines from it. It's very powerful. Hearing, for they pushed people to be angrier and more extreme. The Iraqi violence and ferocity.
Well, it was whole since the beginning of the war in Iraq. And they created this bad, the hatred against occupation from this bad action. Because in the beginning of the war, the Iraqi people were willing to see the occupation force. As I can see, part of them were willing. I can't tell you that majority were willing, but we say it in the beginning, okay, we will not justify or we will not judge them. We will see, okay, later, the time will tell the truth about them, because the administration give a very big rosy promises for Iraqi people that we will bring democracy and liberation and happiness for Iraq. And we were waiting there to see what kind of liberation and democracy they bring for Iraq. And as I told you, I have wrote this story in my diary in the beginning of the war. I remember it yesterday when I was writing the blog. It was step by step, bad actions and aggressive actions, and they didn't respect our feeling or the souls of Iraqi people. So these actions increased the hatred in the heart of Iraqi people against the occupation. Now they are against the occupation. They don't want them to stay in Iraq because they didn't prove that they are working for the welfare of Iraq's people.
Faiza, President Bush is giving speeches this week because he knows the war is unpopular and that there will be many stories because we've now hit the three-year mark. And he offers this message that he has liberated Iraq, that he has brought freedom to the people of Iraq. And he cites the three different elections, which I don't think are that significant, but he claims that these are major landmarks on the road to democracy. Set us straight. Is democracy even remotely possible in Iraq today?
Well, I can tell you the other side of the story. If we want to talk about the new constitution written by Bremer, and the Iraqi will go to vote for constitution written by the hands of American administration, and Mr. Bush told you that the Iraqis are celebrating their democracy? What kind of celebration? It is not a real operation. It is they destroyed the meaning of the beautiful meaning of democracy and freedom in Iraq. And what kind of freedom we have? Freedom of gangs and thieves and the militia running in the streets and freedom of the bullets running to cut the heads of your son? What kind of freedom we have gained after 3 years? You can see everything on the ground is different from the speech of the administration.
Faiza, today at the trial in Baghdad, Saddam Hussein issued a call to Iraqis to stop fighting each other and to fight the occupying Americans. Tell me if you think that people will embrace his message, and what is his? How do Iraqis view him today? Is he still their leader?
About Saddam Hussein?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, most of Iraqis, when we sit together to talk about Saddam Hussein, we said Saddam Hussein now he is something from the past. So we don't want to talk about the past. Mm-hmm. Because now we are in a crisis, and we want to go out of this crisis. We want to talk about the future. So this is a very important issue. The priority for Iraq is now asking about what kind of future we will gain. We don't want to think about Saddam Hussein and waste our time. So what is the alternative of Saddam Hussein? Sure, the alternative of Saddam Hussein is not occupation. This is the wrong option. We want to create another option. But you can see the conditions of the violence in the street and the chaos and everything is bad. Can't give enough time for the Iraqi people to think about their future. And they feel that their future has been out of their hands. It is in the hands of the militia. And who put this militia in power? This is the question.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a call here. Marina in Monterey, welcome to our program. A brief comment or question, please.
Faiza, I thank you for telling us all the terrible things that are happening in your country. I have lived through an occupation myself. Consequently, I know exactly what you're going through.
Yeah.
My heart goes out to you. Stay put. Hopefully, everything will be okay. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Marina. That's very touching.
Yeah.
And finally, Faiza, why is the United States hanging on to the occupation? Is it because we want permanent military bases, or is it because we want your oil?
Well, after 3 years, you can see the oil is not the number one reason. Because the basis is the number one reason. It means this administration, they are putting a plan to dominate. It means they are planning to attack Iran. And Iraq will be their new base to attack Iran. So we will never agree about this, that they are planning to keep Iraq like their basis for any long time. We can't accept this idea that we will be the point to attack our neighbor. So what is the deal? In the past, they removed Saddam Hussein. They said he is aggressive and he is bad and he make wars with his neighbors. So now what is the future of Iraq, that we will be the base for America?
Faiza Al-Araji, thank you for joining us today on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from ThinkerToys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from ThinkerToys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. ThinkerToys is open daily.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. Disturbing charges in an internet child pornography case.
This ring allegedly provided live streaming video of children being molested.
In Sarasota, Joseph Smith learns his fate.
For the murder of Carly Jane Brucia, you are hereby sentenced to death.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. It's the dark underbelly of the internet.
The behavior in these chat rooms are the worst imaginable forms of child pornography.
Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez announcing charges against 27 people who allegedly exchanged graphic material in a chat room called Kitty Pics and Kitty Vids. At least seven children were victimized. CBS News reporter Stephanie Lavidakis.
This child pornography case is particularly disturbing to law enforcement agencies because they say it marks the first time they've seen the live molestation of children and even babies with the images transmitted to customers on their computers via what's called peer-to-peer file sharing. The porn ring maintained tight security on its members, but Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents were able to infiltrate its inner workings and make 13 arrests in the U.S. alone.
Among the suspects, a member of the U.S. military and a Sunday school teacher. Now this.
This is Charles Osgood of the Osgood File. Many have pondered the reason for Mona Lisa's enigmatic smile. I think the answer is, as Leonardo's model, she was just one of those lucky people who liked their job. Like the accountants at Grant Thornton, their passion for what they do, their expertise and partner involvement, have made them one of the largest accounting organizations in the world, with member firms in over 100 countries. Maybe that's why their clients are so passionate about them. Grant Thornton, a passion for the business of accounting. This is Charles Osgood. I'll see you on the radio on the Osgood File.
People save more and more money on Priceline. Save when you find your own hotel. Save even more when we find it for you. Save packaging your hotel with airfare, booking early, or even on last-minute deals. Priceline now has more ways to save on hotels than any leading travel site. Priceline, more ways to save.
A judge in Sarasota, Florida today affirmed the jury's death penalty recommendation in the case of Joseph Smith, who was videotaped by a security camera 2 years ago as he abducted 11-year-old Carly Brucia from behind a car wash. Her body was found 4 days later. She'd been raped and strangled.
It's very hard to imagine that somebody could have so much hate and so much anger that they could do this type of a crime to anyone, let alone a child.
Lori Brucia is Carly's aunt. Reporter Gordon Bird was in the courtroom.
A general sense of relief among spectators who were present for the sentencing. Some used the word closure, while others said that's not going to happen for them until Joseph Smith is executed for his crimes. Family members who attended the sentencing were pleased with the verdict, though their reaction was subdued, as they no doubt expect to see a long process as this case moves through the legal system.
There'll be an automatic appeal. As the president's approval ratings sag, CBS News chief political correspondent Gloria Borgia reports there's increasing pressure for a shakeup at the White House.
CBS News has learned that former Senate Majority Leader Howard Baker placed a call to the White House and spoke with Chief of Staff Andrew Card. His mission? To get Card to hire former Senator Fred Thompson as a top advisor as a way to inject some new blood. Baker told CBS, "I did not recommend firing anyone, just adding a new face."
Asked today whether the White House staff is tired, spokesman Scott McClellan said he was tired of some of the questions. Saddam Hussein is keeping up with events in his country. Called to testify at his trial in Baghdad, Saddam launched into a speech that showed he's aware of Iraq's sectarian violence. As the judge tried to silence him, he called on Iraqis to start resisting the invaders instead of killing each other. At that point, the trial went into closed session. Later, the judge called a recess till April 5th.
At the height of the tax season, the nation's largest tax preparer finds itself facing a $250 million lawsuit. New York Attorney General Elliot Spitzer says H&R Block defrauded customers by encouraging them to invest in a poor-performing retirement account. He says earnings weren't enough to cover maintenance fees. The company says it will fight vigorously to defend its Express IRA. Gunfire terrorized the lunchtime crowd at Denny's in Pismo Beach, California.
The subject just came into the restaurant and started shooting. Didn't really appear that anyone was targeted. And that's all preliminary at this point.
Police Commander Jeff Norton says the unidentified gunman killed two people and wounded two others before taking his own life. Half a dozen towns in Lipscomb County, Texas are being evacuated as wind-driven wildfires sweep across the panhandle. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic weekend getaway? Well, how about 3 days and two nights in Las Vegas? And what about you don't pay a dime for it? That's right. Act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas' newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge, stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on. You know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call this special toll-free number, 866-41-GO-NOW. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 866-41-GO-NOW for all the exciting details. That's 866-41-GO-NOW. Call now.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, and that pleases me. I would be Peter B., your humble host. And we have a lot to talk about this hour as we take you back to the young Peter B.'s first conspiracy theory saga. Who killed John F. Kennedy and why? It's 7 minutes past the hour. I'm Peter B. Collins, and joining me this hour is Gareth Jenkins. He has just put together this fabulous, glossy, photo-filled book called The John F. Kennedy Handbook. And like so many cases, if you want to get the truth about an American president, you have to go to a British journalist or reporter. Gareth Jenkins, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Hello, Peter.
Hello. It's nice to speak with you, sir, and I'm glad to have you on these shores.
Well, I'm very, very honored to be here.
Well, first question I have for you is, this is a powerful and very comprehensive look at John F. Kennedy, his legacy, and the history. And it is part of a series being published stateside by St. Martin's Press. And I'm just a little troubled.
Actually not. MQ Publications.
Oh, it says here, published by MQ in the UK and St. Martin's in the US.
No, that was a previous book on Che Guevara.
Oh, okay. I
just
get it.
To put that one right.
Okay. So, but what I was curious about is just the priorities here, because in the handbook series, they published Che, and then Elvis, and Marilyn, that's Monroe, Jackie, and now we get to JFK.
Yeah, and just before that, we did Robert Crumb.
Uh-huh.
So.
And so exactly how are these selected?
I suppose there's an element of hit and miss, but the basic about which ones one chooses at any particular time. But the basic idea is to take key political, cultural, social figures, icons, if you like,
mm-hmm.
and then subject them to a very detailed investigation and tell their story with the use of photographs and a whole range of images, which bring to life and explain their iconic status.
And do we assume that Elvis and Marilyn and Jackie were more popular, and so they were published first so you could afford to publish the book about JFK?
Well, it's just a question of lining up the right authors at the right time who've got the time to do it, I think.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're described on the jacket here as a political economist and a leading expert on Cuba.
That is correct.
And I pronounced that in the JFK style.
Excuse me?
I pronounced Cuba in the JFK style.
Oh, right. Okay.
I don't know how well that translates into King's English.
Yeah, no, I got it.
Well, I want to start off by saying that I think this is a fascinating compendium. And why did you decide that it was time for another look at John F. Kennedy? Because there have been books and films produced about the assassination, about his administration, about the Cuban Missile Crisis. What stone was left to overturn?
Well, I think the John F. Kennedy myth has been interpreted and reinterpreted every decade since the presidency. And I think the general view of Kennedy out there is quite at odds with the reality. I mean, Kennedy in general, whether people love him or hate him and attack him, is generally viewed as this liberal figure who ushered in one of the most enjoyable and prosperous eras of American and world civilization. And in actual fact, the reality of the presidency was somewhat different. And I think it's very hard to, if you look closely at the history, it's very hard to see very much of a liberal about John F. Kennedy at all. He was very pragmatic and in many ways a very astute politician, but a liberal he was not.
Well, I think that I agree with that, and I also think there are many other ways in which the rosy, nostalgic image of John F. Kennedy does not square with the reality of the man who was our president. He was a very inspiring speaker, and his inaugural address, I think, was a high point, if not the high point, of his short-lived administration. But when you look back for legislative victories, for major developments, really the civil rights movement in its early stages is about all that I look at as the positive side of the ledger for John F. Kennedy as president.
And yet, Peter, if you look even at the civil rights movement, you have to ask yourself to what extent Kennedy was running with the movement and to what extent it was surging all around him.
Well, there was some duplicity there. His brother Robert, who he, you know, was the crony who he appointed as attorney general, was pretty active in supporting civil rights protesters, but it appeared the president himself was much more eager to curry favor with the Dixiecrats, with people like Lyndon Johnson and Strom Thurmond and others who were very powerful and who were still resisting desegregation.
Yeah, but let's not forget that Robert Kennedy put a wiretap on Martin Luther King's phone.
Yeah.
Also, with I honestly think that it's quite hard to defend the thesis that John F. Kennedy had one policy and his brother had the other. I mean, the two controlled the White House and they spoke every day many times.
Mm-hmm.
And I think their policy on the issue was the same. I mean, Robert Kennedy took his line from his brother, who was his boss.
Yeah.
And I think they were very aware of the burgeoning civil rights movement, which by 1962, the Great March on Washington for Jobs, by then it was becoming an extraordinarily powerful movement. And I think if they hadn't done something about it, they would have been thrust aside. Plus the fact that as the chief executive, John F. Kennedy had the authority of the federal system was being challenged in stronger and stronger ways by the states, and mm-hmm. he had to move to uphold the federal system.
Right. Yeah. Well, it is fascinating to look back. We have just 1 minute till the next break. What other issue would you raise as one of the inconsistencies where you don't believe that the record matches the nostalgia that has been generated around the so-called Camelot era of the Kennedy presidency?
Well, I think it's a long discussion, but I think the issue of Cuba has been greatly glossed over and misunderstood. And in fact, that I feel is... the issue of Cuba is right at the heart of the Kennedy presidency.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I mean, it's interesting because people remember the television debates between Nixon and Kennedy during the presidential election.
Sure do.
And the issue on which Kennedy seems to have got the upper hand over Nixon was in claiming that the Republicans were being soft on Cuba, that they didn't have a plan to overthrow the Castro government by sending Cuban emigres back in mm-hmm. in an armed force. In actual fact, Kennedy had been briefed on that 6 months before by Alan Dulles. He had met with Cubans who were working with the CIA. And he's very well aware of the invasion plans.
We'll talk more about Cuba as we continue. It's time for a break. My guest is Gareth Jenkins. This new glossy and photo-filled book has a lot of good text in it, too. I don't want to make this sound like a coffee table book. It's pretty comprehensive, and it's called the John F. Kennedy Handbook. If you have a question or a comment, join us. Gareth Jenkins is with us for the balance of this hour. You can call us 831-899-5792, a local call on the Central Coast. Or if you're in Eureka or you're listening online, call me toll-free. It's a nationwide Watts line at 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. As we continue, we'll talk about Kennedy, the womanizer. We'll talk about the stolen election of 1960. We'll talk about mafia ties. And did Lee Harvey Oswald act alone? Those are some of the questions we'll try to cover in the remainder of this hour, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's tax time again, and there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and, through electronic filing, get you that refund as soon as you need it in 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks. The choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just 2 blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2 1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville.
Is what you're doing in the market working for you? Are you happy with the results? Are you making money? Sundays at 2 p.m., KRXA is proud to present a new show entitled Safe Money and Retirement Talk, hosted by R.J. Moyer of About College Funding and the Protect My Assets Radio Network. R.J. will present the latest information necessary to help you protect your money and ensure a comfortable retirement. Join R.J. Moyer every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. for Safe Money and Retirement Talk, right here on KRXA 540.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to the designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Del Monte Cafe features authentic American food carefully prepared at very reasonable prices. Hungry for delicious omelets, pancakes, sandwiches, and pasta dishes? Come visit us for breakfast and lunch at the Del Monte Cafe, located at 1642 Del Monte Boulevard in Seaside. We're open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday from 7:30 to 2 p.m. For takeout orders, call us at 394-7851. That's 394-7851, the Del Monte Cafe, 1642 Del Monte Boulevard, Seaside.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic. It's 20 minutes after 4, and here's Metro Diane.
Actually, not too bad so far. Just one accident to tell you about. It's in Live Oak, Madison Lane at Soquel Avenue. Two vehicles involved in this one. CHP en route to check if it's blocking any lanes. Also in Prunedale, keep your eyes open. Got a dog running around. Southbound 101 after Berta Canyon Road. In Prunedale, southbound 101 after Crazy Horse Canyon Road. Horse of a large bucket in the lanes there, so watch out for that as well. This report is brought to you by your Bay Area Volvo retailers. Come celebrate Volvo's 50 years in America and test drive the 06 Volvo XC90. $385 monthly lease, 36 months. Taxes, title, license extra, 877-24-VOLVO. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
And we'll check back in about a half an hour here on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm Peter B. Collins. Thanks for joining us. If you have a question or a comment about the legacy of John F. Kennedy, this is your time to come forward. On the Central Coast, lines are open at 831-899-5792. From Eureka or elsewhere, call us toll-free at 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. Gareth Jenkins is the author of the new John F. Kennedy Handbook. It's about 400 pages, loaded with great photographs, really takes you back to the era. And there's also some new reporting here, some interesting interviews with Noam Chomsky and a couple of senior Cuban officials who shed some new light on the theories about what led to the assassination of John F. Kennedy. And Chomsky talks about his legacy as well. Gareth, a listener who didn't have time to stay on the line, wanted to just clarify the wiretaps on Martin Luther King. He was saying he thought that J. Edgar Hoover was responsible for that, and you had asserted that it was Robert F. Kennedy as the Attorney General. They probably both were involved. Would that be accurate?
That's correct, yes. I mean, it was Robert Kennedy asked Edgar Hoover to put the wiretaps on.
Mm-hmm.
But the two were working very closely
indeed
together on it.
And yeah. Here's Steve in Salinas. Hi, Steve. Welcome to the PBC show with Gareth Jenkins.
Hey, Peter B. Great broadcasting.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask your guest, is it true that Kennedy's personal emissary was seated in Castro's hacienda speaking to him when Kennedy was shot? In fact, Castro answered the phone in front of that embassy. Isn't that true? That emissary.
Yes, that's pretty much correct. What it was, there was a French reporter, French Algerian reporter called Jean Daniel,
friend of Kennedy's,
who had visited Kennedy in the White House and was on his way to interview Fidel Castro.
And
Kennedy sent a message with him.
And Castro was just as surprised as the emissary was. Isn't that true?
It certainly seems that way, yes. I mean, I think they heard, I don't know, I think the news came in on the television or
on the broadcast, but
broadcast
then his personal
of some kind, yeah.
secretary called him on the phone.
Maybe yeah. they were listening to Radio Havana.
Hey,
or
Peter
Radio,
B, is
Radio
the Masonette
Marti.
Still in Cincinnati?
Say that again?
Is the Masonette still in Cincinnati?
That's my hometown, Steve. I believe there is still a restaurant called La Maisonette in Cincinnati.
Thanks a lot, Peter.
I'll ask my mom and let you know. Well, there's a guy with a lot of questions, can't you tell, Gareth? Well,
yeah, I mean, where would he go from there?
I don't know. Let's try to recast this, because I'm quite aware of the fact that many of our listeners are too young to have been around when Kennedy was president and when he was assassinated.
Yes.
And so they're hearing some of this is kind of jumbled together.
Yep.
Kennedy came into office with a very hard line against Cuba and Fidel Castro, who, of course, had deposed Bautista to become the leader of Cuba. And there were many attempts to assassinate Castro. We enlisted some mafia buddies from Chicago in an attempt to poison him through cigars. A lot of different schemes were cooked up. Then we had the Bay of Pigs incident, where we sent these emigres in, and was a total failure, and really blew back on the Kennedy administration. And shortly thereafter, we had the Cuban Missile Crisis, which was the Soviet Union sending missiles into Cuba, and we created this naval blockade in a showdown in the Caribbean there to prevent it from happening. But when we look at the motives for the assassination, was it a Cuban allied group that organized this and recruited Lee Harvey Oswald, or is that a cover story that is being floated to try to distract us from another conspiracy theory that might be more accurate?
Well, I certainly do not believe at all that it was Cubans from Cuba, i.e. Cubans associated with the Fidel Castro government, who were involved in the assassination. Quite the reverse. From my readings, and I cannot claim to be an expert on the assassination, because who can? I mean, it's such a labyrinthine affair.
Indeed.
But my take is that Cubans who were living in the United States, who were bitterly hostile to Kennedy because of the failure of the Bay of Pigs invasion in April 1961, which they felt Kennedy didn't give sufficient support to, that these people who had been working very closely with CIA, about 2,000 of them working with the CIA station in Miami at the time, Task Force W, that these people at some level or other were involved in the assassination. Who pulled the trigger in Dealey Plaza? I mean, nobody really knows. But
do you believe that Oswald acted alone?
I think it seems extremely unlikely, mm-hmm. personally. I want to come back to the Cubans in a moment, but I do have an interesting thing to say. I think it's interesting about the way the assassination was dealt with by Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a little bit surprised at coming to this conclusion in a way, because what happened was Johnson took power immediately after the assassination. He was sworn in, within hours of Kennedy's death.
Right.
And he acted very, very quickly to appoint the Warren Commission under Chief Justice Earl Warren of the Supreme Court.
Right.
And it's very clear that he gave instructions. He worked very hard to make sure that the idea of a conspiracy was pushed to the side. Within 17 days, the FBI came up with a report, which was virtually the same as the conclusions which the Warren report came out with a year or so later. The situation was extraordinarily dangerous, because almost immediately the assassination hit the world television screens.
Mm-hmm.
Information was appearing about Lee Harvey Oswald having been in the Soviet Union,
right.
having
married.
Been married. He was married to a Russian. He had been in the Soviet Union,
right.
and that he was a communist sympathizer.
Gareth, I'm sorry, but we have a break coming that I can't stop. So
oh my
hold
God.
That thought, and we'll
okay.
resume promptly in 4 minutes. Gareth Jenkins is my guest. The John F. Kennedy Handbook is what he's published, and your calls and comments are welcome. Toll free, 888-579-2540, The Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything so tasty you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a pillar affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew. A side of couscous and a baba ganoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. MPG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
If you own a Volvo and you want quality repairs and great service at a fair price, then take your Volvo to Hunt's Auto Repair in Seaside. They only work on Volvos, and they can do any needed service and repair, including all factory recommended maintenance. Owner Mike Brooks is a Volvo certified and factory trained technician with over 16 years experience. Mike's partner Tracy is also a factory trained Volvo service advisor. Many Volvo owners in the area already know and trust Tracy to take care of their Volvos.
Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside, is a locally owned and family operated full service Volvo repair shop, where Mike and I feature honest, quality service at a fair price.
Bring your Volvo to us, and we'll do everything possible to ensure that you leave satisfied and fully informed about your Volvo. Remember, that's Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside. For more info, give us a call at 583-9820.
That's 583-9820.
Life's journey is both exciting and challenging. There are times when we all need a knowledgeable and caring guide to assist us along our life's path. If you or someone you know is facing retirement, let Michelle Ashen of Ashen Senior Resources provide you with the insightful and reasoned assistance that can only be obtained by many years of dedicated study and professional experience as a certified estate planner. Michelle Ashen will show you how to create and grow wealth, how to protect and preserve your life savings. She'll show you how to distribute a portion of your life savings in the most tax-advantaged way while you are living, and how to facilitate the distribution of the remainder of your life savings in the most tax-advantaged way when you pass away. Let Michelle Ashen of Ashen Senior Resources share with you the benefit of her specialized knowledge and expertise. Make the most of your life and life savings. Call Michelle Ashen for a free consultation. 641-0236. That's 641-0236.
Finding answers to questions about a woman's health can be difficult, but the women of Monterey County will soon have an opportunity to get the information they need. I'm Assemblymember Simon Salinas, and I'm sponsoring a Women's Health Summit along with several organizations. This free event will take place from 10 a.m. until 3 p.m. on Saturday, March 25th at Hartnell College in Salinas. For more details, call my office at 831-759-8676.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
You've got the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm glad you're listening. 33 minutes past the hour. Coming up next hour, Larissa Alexandrovna returns. She's the investigative reporter at RawStory.com. And was it Stephen Hadley or Richard Armitage who originally leaked the Valerie Flame Wilson identity? We'll chew on that coming up next hour. Your phone calls are welcome for author Gareth Jenkins of the John F. Kennedy Handbook. Lines available on the Central Coast at 831-899-5792 or toll-free at 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540.
1-800-259-9240. And Gareth, before that train wreck came through and interrupted us, we were talking about the haste with which Lyndon Johnson assembled the Warren Commission, the FBI had this report out within 17 days. Many of us are still waiting for explanations of what happened on 9/11. Mm-hmm. And the Warren Commission was a model for the 9/11 Commission from the point of view of many of us who believe that the 9/11 Commission overtly avoided a lot of issues related to, different things that remain unanswered. But to your point, the Warren Commission was assembled, and then go ahead and finish your thought, please.
Well, my thought was that if you look back, the situation was actually extremely dangerous because there were people putting stories into the media, pointing the finger at the Russians, at the Cubans, for having carried out the assassination. And they were using the person of Lee Harvey Oswald to try to substantiate these rumors. If you think back a little bit, a year before, during the Cuban Missile Crisis, the chiefs of staff, the generals in the Pentagon, leading CIA chiefs, had wanted to take out Cuba, to launch an attack on Cuba. And this maniac belligerence against Cuba continued right up to the assassination. And I think what Johnson was doing was trying to get the issue out of the way and make sure that those people were silenced. And so I think one of the conclusion I came to, I could be right, is that by pointing to there being a lone gunman who didn't have links with any foreign government, Johnson was actually trying to, and I think succeeded, in undermining the position of those who wanted to launch a strike against Cuba. Mm-hmm. So in a sense, we should be grateful for the Warren Commission. It doesn't mean that the Warren Commission told the truth, and it doesn't mean that we shouldn't have the truth now. But in a way, at the time, it may not have been a bad thing.
Yeah. Now, I was 10 years old when Kennedy was assassinated, and I can recall it would happen on a Friday, and on Saturday morning, we were glued to the television set, and I actually saw the incident where Jack Ruby entered the police station there where they were moving Oswald, and they did a fairly predictable perp walk to show him to the cameras. He was manacled. And then this owner of a strip club comes up there in Dallas and just point blank guns him down. It was so bizarre having, you know, just tried to absorb the killing of our president to see his assassin gunned down in short order. Who was Jack Ruby and why did he do that?
Well, Jack Ruby was a nightclub owner in Dallas. But as many investigators have since shown, he had lifelong connections to the mob from his days in Chicago. He had connections to the mob in New Orleans. The investigators have shown that Lee Harvey Oswald also had connections to the mob. In fact, during 1959, Jack Ruby had made at least two visits to Cuba of quite a extended length, and the Cubans have subsequently researched that. And it seems that Jack Ruby was going into Cuba to get the casino money out for Santo Traficante, who was a leading mobster of the time who had big interests in Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
So that very briefly is who Jack Ruby was. In the book, for the book, I conducted an interview with a senior Cuban official who for 25 years was the head of Cuban intelligence. And interestingly, in 1978, the U.S. House of Representatives approached Cuba for information on Cubans in the United States who could have been involved in the assassination of Kennedy, and particularly wanted information on a Cuban called Rolando Cubelo, who was in jail in Cuba. So from that time on, Fabian Escalante, the intelligence chief who I interviewed, was building a dossier on potential Cuban links to the assassination. If I could read you just his conclusion about the what he thinks the link was. He says, "In my view, Kennedy was condemned by the Cuban-American mafia after the Bay of Pigs invasion. They made him the scapegoat for that failure because he refused to authorize the second bombing of the Cuban airports or the deployment of American troops that were in the aircraft carriers and landing craft off the Cuban coasts. And later, at the time of the missile crisis in October 1962, the U.S. Chiefs of Staff wanted Kennedy to make a massive surprise attack on Cuba. And as I mentioned a little while ago, the Cubans, who were outraged at Kennedy for Bay of Pigs, continued to want to have a military strike against Cuba."
Mm-hmm.
So, although Escalante, being a seasoned intelligence officer, doesn't jump to conclusions, doesn't try to say who committed the assassination, nevertheless, he does implicate a number of Cuban Americans in that act.
We're talking with Gareth Jenkins here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And Gareth, if I can borrow a verb from Rupert Murdoch's tabloid The Sun, at least that's where I learned it, the verb to bonk. John F. Kennedy had a very rich sex life. And I don't really care that he bonked Marilyn Monroe, but he also bonked a woman named Judith Exner, who was a girlfriend of Sam Giancana, the Chicago mobster. And this, of course, at least leads people to suspect some connection between Ruby Giancana and the provision of Giancana's girlfriend for the pleasure of the president. And I
You did?
And I found her credible. And so I'm curious what your take is on the girlfriends and the mafia.
Well, Judith Campbell Exner certainly was at one stage a girlfriend of Kennedy. She claimed, and presumably this is what you talked with her about in the interview, she claimed to have been a bagman between Kennedy and the mob, and also I believe between that's probably about the level of it from what I can understand.
Yeah, it was scary to interview her because I was in Chicago doing a live radio show, and Sam Giancana was still alive.
Oh my God!
But I survived. Marianne in Pacific Grove, join us here on the Peter B. Collins Show with Gareth Jenkins.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi.
Mr. Jenkins, I wish I had seen your book before I'm asking questions. I certainly am going to see your book. Is it at Borders, by the way?
Yes, it is.
Good. Okay, good.
And lots of other good bookshelves. Not only the big ones.
Yeah, I have some opinions. I was 22 when he was shot, and what got my attention was a couple of years later, Look magazine. Do you recall that issue?
Look magazine.
Yeah. It gave a list of the major witnesses involved in this and how they died. And when you look at that list, what are you talking about here? Karate chops, machete blows, somebody thrown out of a car. It just got my attention, and from then on I started paying attention. And I did study this. I'm not a buff. I hate that word.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to know, have you addressed, and I'm sorry, if I had read your book, I probably wouldn't need to ask these things. Have you addressed the oil depletion and that allowance?
I don't know. I don't go into the oil depletion. Of course, I deal with the assassination in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And it's clearly an important issue in looking at Kennedy.
Well,
but
it is in the long run. Anyway, I have...
Marianne, I think he wanted to complete a thought. Go ahead there, Gareth.
Here, I'm sorry.
But I took a decision not to focus too much on the assassination itself. And that's the reason really was because what interests me about Kennedy is who he was as a politician and what his political legacy
mm-hmm.
is, and to try and demystify his political legacy. And you see, one can believe that it was a conspiracy that led to the killing of Kennedy. And now, I personally don't believe it was a lone gunman, but
no,
you know, that's just
I.
my view. But you can then you then have to think, well, okay, if it was a conspiracy, there's more than one person involved. Was this a very high level conspiracy? You know, was it the top levels of the American government and ruling elites, or was it a lower level conspiracy of Kennedy? And now, I personally don't believe it was a lone gunman, but
no,
you know, that's just
I.
my view. But you can then you then have to think, well, okay, if it was a conspiracy, there's more than one person involved. Was this a very high-level conspiracy? You know, was it the top levels of the American government and ruling elites, or was it a lower-level conspiracy? If it was a higher-level conspiracy, then you've got to ask yourself why policies didn't change following the assassination. The members of Kennedy's administration, including his brother Robert, for the most part, continued to work with Johnson for a number of years and continued to work and promote the same policies, and to commend Johnson for continuing, Robert Kennedy commended Johnson for continuing his brother's policies, even though personally he didn't like the man, he hated him.
Yes, he
but,
did.
But nevertheless, so you have to ask yourself, what is the political, for the most part, continued to work with Johnson for a number of years and continued to work and promote the same policies, and to commend Johnson for continuing, Robert Kennedy commended Johnson for continuing his brother's policies, even though personally he didn't like the man, he hated him.
Yes, he
but,
did.
But nevertheless, so you have to ask yourself, what is the political have as the same importance, which a lot of people give to it? And so that's the approach I took in the book.
Marianne, I can tell you have more, so hold on. We'll come back to you after you're with us. And I don't know about you, Gareth, but when I think about all these things and try to figure out what truly happened in the Kennedy brewed Latin American coffee or traditional espresso drinks, come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery Deli and Cafe, open 7 days a week, Monday.
Springfield Road at Highway 1. Definitely slow down through the area. Small kids playing in the roadway there. Check in the Santa Cruz Mountains, both directions of Highway 17 through the Santa Cruz.
What you have to do is line up photographs of the various Oswald. It's not just the cropping across the chin. It's different people. And I do have a request. I'm just going to send it out on the air, because the two people I was involved with who did serious work on this are both dead. If anybody knows what happened to Ray Fabrizio's film that Dan Rather was allowed to observe, he was the pool reporter, he was an anchor in Dallas, and he was the only reporter allowed to see it, and his reporting was ghastly because nobody had seen the film, the Zapruder film.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, oh, yes, the president's head was thrown forward. Well, we know it isn't, wasn't, never was.
Yeah.
And Rather said, oh, I just made a mistake, oops. And I also know he wound up with Cronkite's job.
Mm-hmm. Marianne, I have a quick question for you.
Yeah.
Central Coast Radio History. There was a woman named Mae Brussels.
I knew her very well. She's one of the two people I worked with who's dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And was it the Kennedy assassination story that started her broadcast career?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
She was a Beverly Hills Princess housewife. And when the assassination happened, she was interested. When the books came out, she sent for them. And she read them, and she cross-indexed them.
Hmm.
And this is before we all had computers.
Yeah.
She simply did it. This woman could connect the dots like I have never seen anybody else do in my life. And I worked with her for years.
Well, I'm glad to know that, and thanks for calling today.
Yeah, she was for real. And yeah. Ray Fabrizio was for real. And if anybody can track down the film he had with Dan Rather's voiceover,
mm-hmm,
alongside the film, it It makes your back hair stand up.
Okay. Thank you, Marianne.
Thank you, sir.
Yep, appreciate your call today. Gareth Jenkins, one other thing in the conspiracy arena. Did you come across the declassified document called the Northwoods Memo?
Yes, I know about that, yes.
Mm-hmm.
This is the plan to send sort of drone aircraft.
Yes.
Have it blown up on the way to Cuba and claim that the Cubans did it.
Right. And this surfaced because the physical evidence from the Pentagon isn't consistent with an airplane flying into that building. And there are people who believe that the Northwoods memo, kind of laid out this scheme for how you could switch planes and produce a fabricated incident that could be blamed on the Cubans.
Yeah, this is quite a persistent theme, actually, because early on in the Kennedy administration, there was a plan to blow up a U.S. ship at Guantanamo Naval Base. And on the first day of the XCOM, the Kennedy Commission during the missile crisis, the 13 days of the missile crisis, on the first day of that, because those recordings have been published now, Robert Kennedy actually is saying, well, why don't we do another Maine against Cuba? The Maine was the battleship blew up in Havana Harbor in 1898, and became the pretext for the United States to go in into Cuba.
Yeah, the famous line from Hearst, I'll provide the war, you provide the pictures.
Exactly. So Robert Kennedy, on the first day of the missile crisis, was saying, well, you know, perhaps we should create an incident to allow us to go into Cuba.
Yeah.
So it does seem to be something which sort of runs through military thinking in this country.
Indeed. Gareth, just 2 minutes remaining. I want to turn to one of the other issues that people who look back with the rosy nostalgia attribute to President Kennedy, but it doesn't seem to be based in fact, and that is people have speculated recently that he wanted to get out of Vietnam. And I don't believe that. Do you?
I don't believe it either. Oliver Stone, who you mentioned, his film JFK, 1992, I think it was, strongly suggested that as a reason for the assassination. And other people, Arthur Schlesinger has suggested in later writings, he was a historian who was in the Kennedy administration, has suggested the same thing, although he never said it in his original book, which came out a couple of years after the Kennedy assassination.
Correct.
Of course, I mean, just as with the war in Iraq now, and I'm sure the administration would like to get out of Iraq and say we've won, I think exactly the same thing was the case with Kennedy. Kennedy was the one who started covert operations in Vietnam, who built up a massive counterinsurgency operation of terror, who bombed the south of Vietnam, although you'll hardly see a record, see any reference to it in the history books.
Right. Everybody looks at 1966 and the trumped-up Gulf of Tonkin incident and says, well, that was the beginning of U.S. Overt hostilities. But through the CIA, through contractors, through the operations you described where we used airplanes that weren't properly marked,
exactly.
We were very active as early as 1962.
Dropping napalm on Vietnam even then, creating the strategic hamlets, the concentration camps where the peasants of South Vietnam were being herded in so that they couldn't support the insurgents from the north and so on. Yeah, I mean, as far as I can see, Kennedy was right behind that war. He would have no doubt liked to be able to hand it over to the South Vietnamese to run it. But the Diem, who actually was assassinated with a nod and a wink from the U.S. government, Diem was not up to the job, and the situation was getting out of hand. And of course, the answer to that was send in more troops.
Gareth Jenkins, thanks for joining us today. It's the new John F. Kennedy Handbook. We all have dreams,
And dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichorn, owner of Eichorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to the designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Harley Carnes. A baby being sexually abused live online. It's part of what led to the international sting involving four nations that has led so far to more than two dozen arrests.
Seven victims of molestation have been identified. The youngest was less than 18 months old.
Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez says he got a lot of help from investigators in Australia, Britain, and Canada, of course, where the probe began. For Joseph P. Smith, who raped and killed 11-year-old Carly Brucia in Sarasota, Florida, the sentence is death. Deborah Riva is the prosecutor.
We feel that Mr. Smith received a fair trial and that there will be no appealable issues and that we will have a quick resolution.
Death penalties are automatically appealed, a process that usually takes years. The grieving widow tends to shed her cloak of sadness within about 6 months. A new study says 6 months after the old guy's gone, the widow lady shows few signs of grief. She's picked up and moved on. The National Institute on Aging said 1 in 10 were downright cheerful. Death, as you might expect, is hardest on those who've lived and loved the longest into their elder years. Speaking of the elderly, a new study looks at possible causes of Alzheimer's.
Could a single substance in the body cause Alzheimer's disease? That intriguing possibility arises from a study in the journal Nature that links a specific protein complex in the brain to memory loss. What could that mean for treatment?
If you can interfere with the production, you could restore memory function, possibly, before irreversible injury has occurred.
Dr. Michaela Gallagher, part of a Johns Hopkins University of Minnesota research team that made this discovery. She says this should give drug developers a promising lead. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
A Rand Corporation study on health care in America finds it lacking. CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick.
This study, which was looking into disparities in health care, found that nearly all patients are at risk. Participants in this study received only 55% of recommended care for their conditions.
That was true no matter who you are. Whether you were black or white, whether you were rich or poor, whether you were insured or uninsured, everyone is at risk.
Health experts blame an overburdened system, but lead author Steve Ash of the VA in California says doctors need computers.
Survey shows that only about 25% of physicians are practicing with an electronic medical record right now.
Because of that, many doctors aren't aware of their patients' medical histories. Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
Dubai Ports World has decided to just sell off the U.S. port operations that came with its takeover of the British company that has done the job. DPW says it'll be sold to a wholly unrelated American company within 4 to 6 months. And even until then, the operations will be handled by an American independent. On Wall Street, the Dow gained 58 points today to close at nearly 11,210. The Nasdaq picked up about 16 points. Oil prices, $62.17 a barrel. That's down 93 cents. This is CBS News.
My name's Belinda, and today's my fifth day with Prilosec OTC. My husband and I used to love to travel until frequent heartburn pulled me off the road. But Prilosec OTC's made all the difference, and it started to work the first day. Now we're headed for Vegas. Imagine, zero heartburn for 24 hours with one pill a day. It's possible with Prilosec OTC. It's day five for me. What day are you on?
Use as directed for 14 days for treating frequent heartburn, not for immediate relief.
Do you know your credit score? You should, because staying on top of your credit could help save you thousands of dollars. You can now get your credit score and credit report at freecreditreport.com.
I go online and in seconds I get my credit report and credit score free.
I can even print it right off my computer.
Staying on top of my credit helped me save a lot of money.
Get your free credit report and score with enrollment and triple advantage at freecreditreport.com. That's freecreditreport.com.
New York State has taken the tax preparation company H&R Block to court, $250 million fraud suit. New York Hoods, when they sold them Block IRAs.
Without disclosing the fees, H&R Block was able to pretend that this was a good way to save when, in fact, it was not.
Spitzer says the problem was fees like bees. Fees to buy, fees to manage, fees to get out, which could outstrip any interest you might make on the IRA. A judge in New York has ordered Cesar Acaruns to prison for the next 32 years, 27 years minimum. He murdered his 26-year-old ex-girlfriend and tossed her body into a dumpster and left her 4-year-old little girl to wander the cold streets of New York alone. She was found barefoot, tear-streaked, and hungry on a street in Queens last fall. And when police found her, they asked her what her mommy looked like so they could search.
Booking early or even on last-minute deals? Priceline now has more ways to save on hotels than any leading travel site. Priceline, more ways to save.
Six minutes after the hour, welcome to this portion of the Peter B. Collins Show. We are live on KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz, and Pacific Grove. We're live on KGOE 1480, Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County, and on a good day like this, they can hear us in Ferndale. Later this hour, we open up the phones in our free speech zone to hear from you on any issue that you wish to comment on in the news today. But it's time for our weekly visit with the investigative reporter from RawStory.com, Larissa Alexandrovna. Welcome, Larissa.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing fine. I want to set up our first segment this way. It's the Leak Down, and in this corner, the WWF champion is Richard Armitage, a voluntary cue ball with a voice that was described as, what happens when you put your hand into the disposal. And in this corner, Stephen Hadley, former assistant national security advisor, and he got the promotion to the top job when Condi moved over to the State Department. And the Washington, this is out of the New York Times.
No, Vanity Fair.
And Vanity Fair. There's kind of this back and forth going on.
Okay.
New York Times has a story that was buried on page A23 today. And it says, citing Benjamin Bradley, the former executive editor of the Washington Post, that Bradley has named or at least suggested that it was Richard Armitage who was the first official who revealed the identity of Valerie Plame Wilson. And is
to Bob Woodward.
Yes, to Bob Woodward.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but that's not accurate. Well, it's not accurate because that's not what Bradley said. I don't believe Bradley said it, and it is an Armitage, so it's inaccurate in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, what Bradley said is I just had this in front of me and I lost it. It's reasonable to assume that Richard Armitage, he was under Colin Powell, is the likely source. If we assume, let's say that Bradley did say that,
mm-hmm.
that means nothing. It is reasonable to assume many things, but that doesn't make this a confirmation of any sort. That's first of all.
Okay.
Second of all, the issue is, I don't believe that Bradley said that, because given Bradley, and I respect him a great deal, much more than I respect or have ever respected Bob Woodward, and if he managed to keep the identity of Deep Throat silent for 30 years, I find it absolutely mind-boggling. I cannot believe that he would even begin to speculate on who Woodward's current Deep Throat is. It's just, he's far too an experienced of a journalist, and he's been through this before. I find it hard to believe. And he denies it, by the way. As does Woodward. Woodward denies telling Bradley who the source is, and Bradley says he knows who the source is, did not learn it from Woodward, but didn't tell anyone.
But
so,
what we
I
have
mean,
here, we have a media duel underway, because we have the New York Times quoting the Washington Post and then quoting Vanity Fair.
Well, wait, the whole thing started with Vanity Fair.
Right.
The writer is a Marie Brenner, who happens to be Judy Miller's best friend.
And you can tell. When you read the article,
she, you know, to be fair, she does you know, give full disclosure on that in the article. So I, you know, to be fair, so it's really more of an op-ed. But she, you know, I find it, you know, Vanity Fair runs us as though we're a news story. Washington Post responds to it as though it's a news story or that it's credible, because you have a he said, she said that, and in terms of what is being said is really not all that, you know, firm to say that this is a confirmation. And, I, you know, now you have the New York Times throwing in its hat, and they're all chasing something that isn't true to begin with. How do I know? Because I reported on who Woodward's big source is. There's three sources. There's the two minor ones and one big one. One of them is Libby.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, Woodward says, is Card. Card says, no, I'm not it, although everyone says that he's formally denied it. And then there's the unnamed official from whom Woodward learned this information directly, and that is Stephen Hadley. There is no question. In fact, if you look at the press accounts, do you remember what they used as a reason to say it is not Hadley?
No.
Okay.
But I'll
basically
bet you know.
That he issued a denial, which in this environment, it used to mean something. Now it means nothing, because you can lie, just bold-faced lie. But his denial is hilarious. This is what Hadley said. He said, when asked about my piece on him being with Word Source, he said, I've also seen press reports from White House officials saying that I'm not one of his sources. Hadley said with a smile. Asked if there was a yes or a no, he replied, it is what it is. Does that sound like a denial to you?
It sounds like an evasion.
Exactly. Yet the press ran with it that everyone's issued a denial except for Armitage. And this is not a denial. In fact, this is the farthest thing from a denial. If anything, this is gives credence to the story. But the Armitage mem, and it is a mem because Armitage was not in the loop on this. Colin Powell and Richard Armitage were not in the inner sanctum. Anyone who believes that is just out of their minds. These guys were, you know, literally scapegoated for everything. They were, you know, kept at arm's length, and they were not in the inner sanctum. That's one aspect of this. The other thing is that if there's more evidence needed than what's provided in my article, there's several ways to get it. First of all the press has to do is keep asking Hadley to go on the record, formally issue a concrete denial, not this evasiveness.
Mm-hmm.
They could FOIA Hadley's meeting notes from that time period that Woodward names and to see who Hadley had met with, and it would confirm Woodward, I would think.
Well, and, Larissa, if Hadley went on the record and went up or down on the issue, wouldn't he be subject to being fired by the president? Because after all, when he finds that leaker...
Well, no, because what makes anyone think that people don't know that Hadley is involved in this? In fact, I would suggest that half the mainstream media knows this by now.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to also remember, if you want to, you know, authenticate, let's say you want to confirm my article on your own, which I think everyone should do, and the Sunday London Times did just that. They took it upon themselves, investigated, and confirmed my report. So, you know, I'm not out here all alone, but there's only two of us, and I find that very bizarre. Now, but if anyone's really interested, you just need to look at the series of events. Who took responsibility for the 16 words referencing uranium being purchased by Iraq via Niger?
Hadley did that.
Right. There was no Armitage anywhere in this. Who was part of the White House Iraq group that orchestrated the hit on Valerie Plame?
That's Hadley.
Right. Armitage wasn't in that group. I mean, you can literally see at every... And when Libby sent that, even that cryptic letter he sent to Judith Miller in prison, when he referenced the Aspen's Turning, remember that?
Yes, I do.
And we all identified that as the Aspen Institute group, probably?
Right.
Well, who's on there? Miller, Libby, or Cheney, and Hadley.
Mm-hmm.
So where's Armitage doesn't even play into this. More importantly, when I ran the Hadley story, the other part of that article is that Woodward was given unauthorized access to to national security documents and files and whatnot by Hadley. So Armitage never plays into this at all. You don't even see him. I mean, at every turn it is Hadley. So it makes more sense that it's Hadley than it does Armitage. But, you know, aside from that, I have confirmed this to where I'm comfortable defending this. Mm-hmm. Even if this goes down, as they're going to pin it on Armitage, and that will become the official story, it would be a lie.
All right, Larissa, we got to move to a break here, and I only have one minor quibble with what you've just said. He calls himself Armitage, and I think by giving it the panache of Armitage, like arbitrage,
right.
You make him sound like a much classier guy than he really is.
You know, I say the name that way. I can't help it, you know.
Okay.
I used to call Knight Ridder Knight Rider.
She can't help it.
That's right.
We'll continue in just a moment with Larissa Alexandrovna, who can't help it, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, I'm Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary, our 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com.
Join R.J. Moyer for his new weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540, sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic now. It's 519. Here's Metro Diane.
Quite a few animals on the roadway this time around. We have a dog loose in Santa Cruz County. Southbound one at Marmonte Avenue. Dog run around in the roadway there. Also an animal in Hollister. Highway 152 at 156. Reports of a deer loose in the area there, so definitely drive with caution.
Could you give me an animal that makes a sound? Deer are pretty silent.
Dogs bark.
I don't have a dog, sorry.
Oh.
I do have a cow here. Got any cows?
No cows, just a deer. Deer and a dog. That's it.
Stop it.
still working on clearing up the accident in Live Oak. It's Madison Lane at Soquel Avenue. Two vehicles involved in that. CHP on scene there. This report is brought to you by Centrum Silver. Centrum Silver Multivitamins has essential nutrients, which emerging science suggests, along with a healthy diet, may help support heart health. I'm Dio Traffic on KRXA 540.
Twenty minutes after the hour, we continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We open up the lines in the free speech zone just a few minutes away. If you have a comment you'd like to share with our massive audience, you can call me. Central Coast, 831-899-5792. If you're in Eureka, call me and I'll pay for it. 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. We continue now with investigative reporter Larissa Alexandrovna. You can read her work at rawstory.com and occasionally on the HuffingtonPost.com, too. And that's where I want to go next. We have dispatched the New York Times, the Washington Post, nibbled away at Vanity Fair. What do you say we go after the Chicago Tribune?
I think that's a great idea. By the way, I'm generally a big fan of Vanity Fair. So this was, I think, a faux pas.
I like Vanity Fair, but I'd like to get the unscented edition. they send it with those perfume strips, and it just drives me crazy.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
To the Tribune, they published a piece that they, you know, trumpeted as a big investigative piece.
Oh, it's such a joke.
Where
they described
how easy it is to uncover covert CIA operatives.
This, of course,
was driven by the Plame Wilson story. And you whacked him on a couple of very good points. Tell us about it.
Well, I'd say the most important point is their interest in the relative, quote-unquote, softness of her cover versus looking into the damage caused by her exposure. Apparently, that's not a topic of interest, and that baffles me. Now, what they did report is pure garbage because they claim that they located some 2,500 documents on the Internet using various databases and such. But I know how they did the search because there's only really one way you can get this information. And it led from one leak to another leak to another leak. What they did was they took the numbers on do you remember the leak about the planes that rendered detainees all over the world?
Oh, sure. Yeah, okay. It was Walter Pincus, I think, in the Washington Post.
No, it was Dana Priest.
Dana Priest, thank you.
Right, and yeah. and she didn't report specifics of like the exact location. She reported it very responsibly. But what these guys did was they took the numbers of the planes. You know, the planes have identifying marks on them, even though they're unmarked. They are actually marked, and they ran those numbers against the databases to see, you know, what companies owned them, and knowing what they were looking for, which was A, Brewster Jennings, which is Plame's cover company, they identified it. Because, really, if you saw a plane with a number on it and you looked up, let's say, every company that's ever used it or rented or whatever, how would you know which company just to throw a dart at? And you're still even getting which planes to look at from another another exposure. So they took the plane numbers, ran them against the database, then they identified the company, which was Brewster Jennings. Then they compared all the employees at Brewster Jennings who have ever worked there, been there, and whatnot, and they recognized the name Plame. And there you go. They uncovered her identity. That's how easy it was to find her. First, it required someone to leak to the Washington Post. But before that, it required that her name be leaked in the context of the CIA. It also required that her company's name be leaked several months later. It then required, as I said, back to the Washington Post piece, that be leaked. And on top of that, it then required that they use a database that the technology has been purchased by Homeland Security. The database, the company in question, is ChoicePoint. Does that ring a bell?
I have heard of that, yeah.
Okay,
mining software, right?
Right, but they're also a database, like a large database that was, you know, in the news for two very important things. The first one was during the 2000 election cycle, it was this company that suddenly made many African Americans into felons.
Oh, right.
Right.
Yeah, purging the voter rolls.
That's right. Then they made news again when they were found to be selling database information, you know, identity information to con artists, and they were called to testify before Congress, claiming it was an accident, this or that and the other thing. You know, so being as, you know, good as they are, obviously they're very solid, Michael Chertoff and Homeland Security decided to purchase their work. And using this database that's so nicely connected with all the information in advance, yes, the Chicago Tribune was able to identify the things they said they identified. But
what a neat little hat trick.
Right. And the thing is, you know, because there's no other way. Believe me, I work on this beat. I know how these things are organized. And I myself, knowing the people that I know, I don't have access to anything. And I can't find it. And believe you me, given the words and ideas and all that, it's very difficult. But all that aside, why is this news as opposed to what she was doing and how that affected our national security? And that's my big issue with all of these articles. You know, you've got the group chasing the ghost of Armitage. You've got the group chasing how, first it was she was a desk jockey. Now it's she was covert, but not covert enough theory. Mm-hmm. Why is no one chasing the damage done? I don't understand it.
Yeah, because, I mean, I've heard speculation that as many as 30 additional individuals lost their cover when Brewster Jennings was exposed.
Right. Well, I mean, you've asked me to speculate on the number, confirmed numbers. I can't.
Yeah.
I can't tell you you're near and close, completely wrong. I can't.
Okay. And I'm not going to ask.
Right. Well, let me explain why.
Okay.
I think it's important to understand. Let's say you're right. Let's say there's 30. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying you're right. I'm just using your example.
I understand.
Let's say you're right. There's 30 known assets out in the field because, just like the Chicago Tribune, which actually described what every foreign nation did when they discovered who Valerie Plame was. They backtracked.
Mm-hmm.
Knew that there were 30 assets out in the field, or officers out in the field. And someone reports, let's say, 25 have been compromised.
Yeah.
Then these guys know that there are 5 still somewhere out there.
Mm-hmm.
So to speculate on the number actually puts people in jeopardy, and that's really why I won't.
And that makes you a greater American than any member of the White House Iraq group. And I
well,
thank you.
You know, if you knew, I wrote the, you know, what she did for the thing that she was working on. I wrote that literally so carefully. I had to contact certain people to figure out certain words I could or could not use, mm-hmm, that might be a tip-off and various things, and as specific as it is, it's that vague, that article.
Yeah.
But it does tell you something very important, Iran.
Yeah, that's true. Now, Larissa, we have just about 30 seconds remaining. What are you doing to protect your hard drive? Because in Pennsylvania, the Attorney General is trying to seize the hard drives of a newspaper.
Yeah, I know. I sent that to your producer because, the war on the press continues. What am I doing? I actually keep important things on notes.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I no longer use technology, like Battlestar Galactica.
Okay. Larissa, thanks. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
All right, and we'll find another newspaper group we can hammer. That's Larissa Alexandrovna. Into the free speech zone next. Call me. Toll free, 888-579-2540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Are you having a problem making your home loan payments? Do you have equity to protect? At your wit's end, trying to figure out how you'll be able to keep your home? Would you like to speak to a highly qualified loan agent who does not charge for advice? Hi, I'm John Sullivan of Executive Financial Services in Salinas. We can advise you about negotiating with your lender. And believe me, most lenders would rather negotiate with you than own your home. We can advise you about the foreclosure process and bankruptcy filings. If you need us, you can call us 7 days a week between 10 and 7 at 443-7277. We personally answer the phone and don't pre-screen our calls. We're here to give you advice. We can give you your options 5 minutes after reviewing your credit report. We might be able to help you. We might not be able to help you. But if you never call us, you'll never know. That's 443-7277 for a five-minute solution. Executive Financial Services at 443-7277.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. If you own a Volvo and you want quality repairs and great service at a fair price, then take your Volvo to Hunt's Auto Repair in Seaside. They only work on Volvos, and they can do any needed service and repair, including all factory-recommended maintenance. Owner Mike Brooks is a Volvo-certified and factory-trained technician with over 16 years' experience. Mike's partner Tracy is also a factory-trained Volvo service advisor. Many Volvo owners in the area already know and trust Tracy to take care of their Volvos.
Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside, is a locally owned and family-operated full-service Volvo repair shop, where Mike and I feature honest, quality service at a fair price.
Bring your Volvo to us, and we'll do everything possible to ensure that you leave satisfied and fully informed about your Volvo. Remember, that's Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside. For more info, give us a call at 583-9820.
That's 583-9820.
I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I'll bring you interesting topics and personalities from the world of food, wine, and fun. Guests on the Tasty Planet have included wine experts, winemakers, restaurateurs, famous chefs, and others that have made the Monterey Bay region such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by PG Liquors at 229 Grand in Pacific Grove. Stop by today for all your quality beverage needs and ask them about their single malt scotch tasting on March 22nd. And tell them the Tasty Planet sent you.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's a shameful sacrifice, but this is the Peter B. Collins Show. It's what I love to do.
Smiling faces sometimes pretend to be your friend. Smiling faces show no traces of the evil that lurks within. Smiling faces, smiling faces, sometimes they don't tell the truth. Smiling faces, smiling faces, tell lies.
And I got proof. The smiling faces I want to talk about right now are the Democratic members of the United States Senate. The ones who are dancing around Russell Feingold's courageous proposal of censure for the Bush administration. I think it's truly shameful. And oh yeah, those smiling faces tell you that they're for the people and they're against the Bush administration. And some of them even summon the courage to support Congressman Jack Murtha's courageous call to get out of Iraq. But here is one of their own, Senator Russ Feingold, finding the courage to step forward and say, enough is enough. We don't have the votes for impeachment, and we know that. In one-party rule, impeachment is not something we can reach for. It's something we can hope for, But that takes a change of the membership of the House, at least, if not the House and the Senate. And so Monday, Russ Feingold had the cojones to stand up on the Senate floor and offer his censure resolution. And what we saw was the Republicans correctly reading the fear that they could see and smell from the Democratic colleagues of Senator Feingold. They tried to call the bluff. And they said, well, here's a lovely resolution. This is democracy at work. Let's vote on it today. And if you remember, they tried the same trick on MRSA. They threw a resolution out there, essentially daring the Democrats to close ranks behind Congressman MRSA and support what he had articulated. And in that case, Nancy Pelosi, the Democratic leader, and Jack MRSA correctly saw what was going on, and they were able to control their caucus, and they shot that one down. It was not an act of courage, but it was a practical maneuver at that moment. And now Russ Feingold is having trouble getting any other Democrats. Not a single one has the political courage to say, I support Senator Feingold. Barbara Boxer, where are you? Well, Matt just spoke in my ear. Tell me more. Barbara Boxer has supported this? Okay. And Matt is looking up. He understands there's one other senator. Barbara Boxer, I retract my comment and thank you. I'm still puzzled about why you voted for the Patriot Act extension, but someday I'll let you explain that to me and our listeners. All right, so we've got Boxer and Feingold and one other senator. Now, this is a watershed moment. This is where the Democrats can really distinguish themselves. And whether you're talking about a brand or about more passionate issue-based politics, Democrats need to show that they're different from the Republicans. And they failed to do it when the chips were down on the Alito confirmation. And John Kerry, of all people, tried a filibuster. The Democrats are so disappointing. And it doesn't have to be this way. They do not have to run and hide. But that's how they do it. And I find that quite distressing. I'd like to hear your comments. Central Coast, 831-899-5792. There's a line open. Eureka or elsewhere, toll free, 888-579-2540. There's a line open there. That's 888-579-2540. And it was Tom Harkin of Iowa. Thank you, Matt, who is the third of the three senators. So it's Feingold, Boxer, and Harkin. We need more leadership than that. Let's go to Dave in Pinnacles. Hello, Dave. Thanks for calling. Thanks for holding. You're on the air.
How are you doing, Peter? Hey, you know about the thing about I called up Feinstein's office, and they at least had the courtesy to ask me my zip code, so apparently they are taking some record. And my comment was, you know, it'd be nice if you quit trashing your own reputation and got behind Russ on this one. Anyways, to another subject, this last comment by Bush, I can't quote him because, you know, I don't have the information in front of me, but to paraphrase, he states, they can't win on the battlefield, so they're putting these pictures on TV. Now, try to digest this statement, and all I could conclude would be that this is the ramblings of somebody crazy.
Say that again. Your cell phone broke up. Somebody who is crazy?
Yeah, insane himself. I mean, the sentence doesn't make any sense.
Well, first of all, we have to acknowledge that the president is not a very verbal guy, and he often, stumbles and is inarticulate to the nth degree.
But you know, the fact is that Al Qaeda or whoever is butchering people in Iraq, they have no authority or the power to put pictures on American TV.
And the 85 bodies that were found dead in Baghdad yesterday, to my knowledge, were not dispatched by Al-Qaeda. They were dispatched. The Shias were killed by Sunnis, and the Sunnis were killed by Shias.
Well, we all know what's going on. I mean, if anybody has to do is pick up a few books and read on this subject, and within a week, you know what's going on. I mean, it's just so, you know, it's so blatant. That's what bothers me, is everything seems so blatantly obvious. Just like this, our National Guard in Iraq, why, what, 750,000 people cross into our country illegally every year, and nobody's guarding the border. That BorderPatrol.com, they report the GPS location of criminal activity. But the Border Patrol cannot react because they don't have the $80 GPS machine to figure out where these guys are doing the dirty deed. I mean, it's just so obvious and so blatant. I mean, to defend it, there's nothing to defend.
Dave, my rather sharp producer summed it up in one line that he just put on my instant messenger here. He said, Bush is blaming the liberal media for the failure in Iraq. And that's pretty much the bottom line. We don't have a liberal media, but it's an easy punching bag. It works for Rush, so Bush has taken a swing at it, too.
Well,
thank you, Dave.
Take care.
Okay, see you later. Jake in Arcata, you're next here on the PBC show.
Hey, Peter, how's it going?
I'm doing okay. I just, you know my story. I'm really upset that there aren't more Democrats backing Russ Feingold.
Yeah, it truly is pathetic. In fact, I wrote a letter to the editor today. I'm sending off to all the liberal papers. And Russ Feingold, he is the example that we should follow as Democrats. Russ Feingold should be the presidential nominee for the Democratic Party in 2008. And as far as I'm concerned, Feingold is the reason I'm running. Since Ed asked, I might as well just say I am going to be on the ballot in June in the 3rd District of Humboldt County for the Democratic Party Central Committee. My name is Jake Pickering, for those who don't know. And my running mate, Shannon Gillespie, will also be on there. So just to answer Ed's question.
Well, and just pause for a second here, Jake, because this has been noted by our regular caller, Cheryl from Arcata. She said, did you know your show created a competitive election in the 3rd District for Humboldt County Democratic Central Committee? I'll be running as the incumbent with 4 other members for 5 seats. Jake Pickering and Shannon Gillespie are the challengers. So
well, that'll be interesting, yeah.
We've got a competitive race among Peter B. Collins Show listeners.
Well, hey, you know, the way I look at it, no race should go uncontested. Everybody should have a contest. You know, there's far too many elections in this country that are uncontested. But to get onto Russ Feingold and the censure resolution, you know, here's a quote from Feingold. I'm amazed at Democrats cowering with this president's numbers so low. I mean, that sums it up, doesn't it?
It does.
You have these, I don't understand why these Democrats, especially the Senate Democrats, are so afraid of confronting a very unpopular Bush-Cheney administration. The fact is, this NSA spying program was clearly illegal and unconstitutional. Feingold's merely pointing out an obvious fact. And why these Democrats are running for the hills right now is beyond me. This party needs some people with a backbone, Peter. We need more people to run who will stand up to the Republicans.
Yeah. Well, on that note, and I want to tell you that since you can't see me, my tongue is proverbially in cheek, but here is an entry from the Daily Coast today, and it reads, the following Democratic senators have come out for censuring the president. Akaka, Baucus, Dorgan, Durbin, Feinstein, Inouye, Jeffords, Kennedy, Kerry, Cole, Landrieu, Levin, Lieberman, Lincoln, Mikulski, Murray, Reed, Rockefeller, Schumer, and Wyden. Unfortunately, the president being censured was Bill Clinton.
Yeah, exactly. Remember what a great threat it was to our republic that Bill Clinton was having extramarital sex.
Oh,
but
yeah.
The fact that George Bush is instituting a police state, a dictatorship as Sandra Day O'Connor suggested, that's no concern. I'm sorry, Democrats. Stand up for this country, stand up for our Constitution, and censure Bush.
Well, and Bill Clinton got off a few times, and, you know, it's none of our business. George W. Bush has gotten off of every charge leveled against him, and we have to put a stop to that. Thank you, Jake.
Thanks, Peter.
Also, Cheryl added, and I want to take a moment here to talk about some of the peace marches and other events. In Eureka, the event starts this Saturday at Eureka Municipal Auditorium, 1124 F Street. Alexander Coburn is going to be there, and also local activist Nezzy Wade. Coburn runs Counterpunch, writes for The Nation, and is a very great progressive guy. The march kicks off at noon, winds down I Street to 2nd, ends at the gazebo. They're expecting more than 4,000 people. They're going to have some marching bands. Well, that's great. And what else does Cheryl say? Oh, she says that we may have to agree to disagree on Pete McCloskey running against Richard Pombo. And my point here, Cheryl, is that in the primary, Pete McCloskey has a chance of knocking Richard Pombo out cold. And we can get to Jerry McNerney and the other Democrats who are running in their primary. Whoever survives that will face either McCloskey or Pombo in the fall. And I believe, and Pete McCloskey hasn't told me this, but I believe that if he's able to knock off Pombo in the primary, he might make it easy for a Democrat to win that seat. He hasn't told me that. That's just my speculation. More of your calls coming up next in the Free Speech Zone. You can call the PBC show, 831-899-5792, or toll free at 888-579-2540. 14 minutes before the hour, this is the Peter B. Collins Show. Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances, giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436, 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
Tom Hartman.
Essentially, ethnic redistribution is happening right now as we speak. The Shia are moving out of the predominantly Sunni neighborhoods, moving into the Shia neighborhoods, and the Sunnis are moving out of the predominantly Shia neighborhoods into the Sunni neighborhoods. People are swapping houses.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
And this is what we saw in the Balkans. This is what we saw in Lebanon. This is what happens when civil war happens. And the civil war, I would suggest to you, is already well underway.
Tom Hartman on KRXA 540.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic one more time. Here's Metro Diane.
Actually, it's looking pretty good. We only have one accident to tell you about. It's Live Oak, Madison Lane at Soquel Avenue. Two vehicles involved in this one. CHP on scene. This accident has been there for a while, so I think they're just waiting for tow trucks to arrive and cleared on out of there. Other than that, no new stalls and accidents to tell you about. Santa Cruz, Monterey County. Santa Cruz Mountains Highway 17, both directions, checking in, stall and accident-free. This report is brought to you by Preparation H. Preparation H cream relieves burning, itching, and also gives you maximum strength pain relief on contact. It's the most complete Preparation H relief ever. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Diane. And Casey's got your traffic every weekday morning on the Stephanie Miller Show, 6 to 9 a.m. right here on KRXA 540. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, slipping into darkness and sliding into our final segment here this evening.
Wake up, everybody, almost sleeping in bed. No more backward thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very.
Now I know you're awake and alert, and you're aware and you're active. But I want to ask you to recruit a friend who is not so politically active. Somebody who prefers American Idol to watching the cable shout shows in the evening. And see if you can get them to join you this Saturday for one of the peace marches or other events underway. We talked about the plans in Eureka. Also in Salinas this Saturday, starting at 11 a.m., you should meet at Star Center, East Blanco Road, and South Main Street. That's where that's going to kick off. And in Monterey, the gathering is at Window on the Bay, starting at 4 o'clock. And they're going to continue the vigil right up until 6 p.m., maybe later. And if you want to cruise over to San Francisco, the gathering starts at 11 a.m. There, that's the City Hall area, and that's at, Van Ness and O'Farrell. Yeah, Van Ness and O'Farrell is a good place to, or one block over, Van Ness and Hayes, maybe. So I hope you'll get out and speak up because, RJ, good to hear from you.
Hey, it's good to hear your show. I listen to you quite a bit, and I'm stimulated by what you're talking about today, just as every day. I had a thought.
Mm-hmm.
This whole Bush administration idea has given me to do some study on the word tyranny.
All right.
I think it was Thomas Jefferson who said something about... if we the people don't act against the tyrant, we are going to suffer the fate that we own.
Well, RJ, apparently you didn't hear 9/11 changed everything.
I'm starting to understand what you're saying about this administration. These guys, they're out of control, and I also believe, Peter, that this is a shining example for all Americans to see what happens when one party controls the democratic process.
You are so right.
It just doesn't work. There needs to be balance.
That is the bottom line here. You know, you can take exception or take a different view on many things that the Bush administration has done. But the most extreme, the most dangerous, the most negative things that they've done, in my view, are all a product of one-party rule. And we can never permit this to happen again, not even for Democrats.
No.
To control all three branches of government.
No, you're exactly right. It would probably look the same, no matter what course it took.
Well, and the way the Democrats are operating, there appears to be no imminent danger that that's going to happen anytime soon. But I still say we don't want any party to control all three branches of government.
That's exactly my point. Hey, listen, I'm happy you took my call. Just wanted to say I love your program. I love what you have to say. And I'm really enjoying your listeners. You got some really informed listeners out there.
That's true, and I enjoy them too. Thanks, RJ.
All righty.
Joe, Brookings, Oregon, you're next on the PBC show. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I would certainly say that Russell Feingold is the only Democrat they talk about running for president that is even worth considering. He's the only one who has any guts. He's the only one who has any integrity or cojones, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't surprise me that the rest of the Democratic Party goes running for the hills when Russell Feingold wanted to censure President Bush. It doesn't surprise me one bit.
Well, I wish it did. But I understand your point.
Yes, yes. And since I know the Democrats are too gutless to nominate Russell Feingold, let me suggest someone else to vote for in the general election. This is someone that could even be a guest of yours someday.
Who's that?
The man's name is Aaron Russo, and used to be Bette Midler's manager, and he produced movies like Trading Places and The Rose, and I saw his new movie last weekend in Medford, Oregon, called America from Freedom to Fascism. It's about the dark side of the IRS and the Federal Reserve and the Patriot Act and the National ID card. He just talks about all sorts of things that you never hear the Democrats ever talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this Aaron Russo would be an excellent guest. He's anti-war. and he's anti-Bush. In fact, his opinion about Bush and the Democrats are kind of my own.
Mm-hmm.
He was asked in an interview, you know, what he thought of President Bush. He said, well, I think Bush is a fascist. And he was asked, well, what did he think about the Democrats? Well, I think the Democrats are a bunch of knuckleheads. And the amazing thing is, this guy is a libertarian.
Yeah. Well, the Democrats are enablers, if you want to use 12-step jargon.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Joe, if you could email me with information on Aaron Russo, we'll track down the film and we'll invite him on the program.
Okay, should I call your show back and give you the guy's email address?
Yeah, we'll just put you on hold right now, and Matt can get the information when he has a second.
Okay, excellent.
Okay, great. Yeah. Thanks for the call, and I appreciate the tip. Cheryl in Arcata. She emailed, and then she called. Hello, Cheryl.
Oh, Peter B.?
It's your turn. Go right ahead.
Paula, it's not Cheryl, but that's okay. I'm still in Eureka.
Oh, I got Paula. Okay.
That's all right.
Cheryl was on the line. Maybe she still is, but
well,
who knows?
Well, I just wanted to tell you quickly, I really am enjoying Jason Leopold. His story yesterday was really riveting, a wonderful guest that you're having on weekly, and I'm really enjoying that.
I'm glad to hear that, and I'll tell Jason. He'll be thrilled.
And with regards to Senator Feingold, you know, he's been to Oxford. He's a Rhodes Scholar. He's got his Harvard JD, so he's got impeccable, you know, background. And MSNBC...
But you know what the conservative Democrats are going to start whispering? We like Russ, but he's Jewish.
Oh, please, let's not... Oh.
I'm afraid of that.
I believe you. You know, MSNBC just now had an article. It said Feingold's motion, Royal Senate. So, and it had Senator Reid at least, you know, saying we need to have the hearings. You know, let's everyone cool these jets, and that this is going to be a process for over the next year. And so hopefully, you know, people will start to, you know, really call, because I called Senator Spector yesterday, since
mm-hmm.
he's the one to hold the hearings, and I said... You know, I really feel that if we can impeach someone for consensual sex, that certainly these three overt lies that have been delineated by, you know, Senator Feingold here exceed that threshold, and I expect you to, you know, go by your oath to the Constitution and do the right thing, and hopefully other people will call
right.
Senator Spector and do that as well. So I just wanted to let you know how much I was enjoying Jason Leopold as well.
Okay. Thank you, Paula. Good to hear from you. Cheryl, we got 15 seconds. Sorry.
Well, I'll just do a quick invite to everybody listening in Humboldt County, including Jake and Shannon. We're going to have our Democratic Central Committee meeting this coming Tuesday at 7 o'clock on 5th Street across from Denny's. Come on down. We need all kinds of help. And I just wanted to say, everybody keep up the good work. Get out there and volunteer, because we need to take back the Congress so we can impeach Bush and heal the world.
Thank you, Cheryl. Trigger's here. I got to go. Talk to you tomorrow.
Until we meet.
Are you looking for money for college? Every year, billions of dollars in financial aid go unclaimed because parents just don't know how to properly access those funds. Mistakes are made in filling out applications. Deadlines are overlooked. And ultimately, it's the student who loses out on desperately needed funds. R.J. Moyer, president of AboutCollegeFunding.com, offers solutions to your financial aid dilemma.
If you're the parent of a college-bound high school junior or senior, critical deadlines are rapidly approaching, and we do specialize in late-stage college funding planning. Regardless of your income, assets, or home equity, I can help you send your child to the college of his or her choice without spending your life savings. But you must take action now.
AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. Call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Crimes against children.
The behavior in these chat rooms are the worst imaginable forms of child pornography.
27 indictments for online kiddie porn. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez says there are defendants in four countries.
In the last year, a defendant who used the screen name Acid Burn allegedly produced live streaming video of himself sexually molesting an infant.
Just one example. in Sarasota, Florida, where a car wash video showed 11-year-old Carly Brucia being led away by the man who raped and killed her. The sentence today for Joseph P. Smith was life for the kidnap and rape, and for the murder, the death penalty. It'll be appealed automatically. Texas wildfires are still far from out, with more dry, windy weather on the way.
The firefighters who have been at this a long time, we're calling it a force of nature or a natural disaster type conditions. And the wind was blowing so hard, the only thing we could do was guide the fire through ground suppression.
Pat Schaub at the Texas Forest Service, 11 people have died in that Panhandle wildfire. At a Denny's restaurant in Culver City, deadly gunplay.
Police believe at this point that the shooter walked into the restaurant as a customer and began shooting with two handguns, at least two handguns, indiscriminately in the restaurant. And police believe there is no linkage at this point between the shooter and his victims, those that were killed and those that survived and were taken to the hospital.
There in Los Angeles, KCOY-TV reporter Keith Carl says the shooter also killed himself. Saddam Hussein didn't listen to the judge's gavel, called for Iraqis to stop killing each other and go back to killing Americans.
He knew it was going to be his moment in court, and he would have the microphone, and he took full advantage. But it was when he was going on about the United States and the occupiers that the judge lost his patience after letting him speak for about 20 minutes and said to him, you know, this is a courtroom. This is not the forum for your fight with the United States. You need to stick to the fact of the case.
CBS News correspondent Lara Logan says when